Amen. Can somebody give God praise tonight? Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God, who is worthy of all praise and all honor. Amen, 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 amen. Good to be here. You may be seated tonight in the presence of God. I guess it's not tonight. It's really afternoon, but we're here. God's here. If God be for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. Amen. In the power of God, amen. We're here to man up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good to have one of my council members, Brother Charles Higgins, up here on the front row. Amen. He is definitely one of the best there is, and I appreciate him coming tonight. Brother Kevin Cantrell's here. Yeah, he goes to our church and teaches one of our Sunday school classes, and I'm glad he's here tonight. Amen. I've been getting to pray over this, and I've actually preached this probably about 6-7 weeks ago at my church, but I'm going to preach a thought tonight. It's time to get your sword. How many of you know we need to get our sword? It's our weapon. Amen. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We're going to look in Scripture tonight. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. You've probably read this. It's in 16. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take up the helmet of salvation. How many of you know we need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God? Man, our word is powerful. Words are powerful. God, we're thankful tonight that we're in this place. God, we already feel your presence. God, you are moving it through this whole place tonight. God, you see every need, every life, every challenge, every situation. But God, we know tonight that you're on the throne, and God, you have everything covered. God, by the power of Jesus Christ, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. It's time to get your sword. How many of you know tonight or this afternoon that the world isn't sunshine and rainbows? It's mean and it's a nasty place. And tonight or today, I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees. And it will keep you there if you let it. It ain't about how hard you hit or how hard you get hit and keep going. Because pain is temporary, no matter if it lasts a minute, no matter if it lasts an hour, no matter if it lasts a year. It will subside and something will take its place. But if I quit, it will last forever. But we can't be in a quitter's mentality because the margin for error is so small. Inches we need are everywhere around us. And you've got a dream and you've got to protect it. And if you want something, you've got to go get it. Because you have to believe that something different can happen. How many of you know in here that something different can happen? Because he who says he can and he who says he can't are both of the same mentality. Most say they want success but don't want it bad enough to go get what God has. But if we dig deep, if we dig deep, and that brings me to a thought tonight about the sword. He wants us all to be exercised victorious spiritual warfare. And the armor of God, which he has given us. He wants you to stand firm to hold ground that Jesus already has won tonight. Because Jesus had already been victorious legally, but wants you to experience it literally. Amen. We are to walk in victory. Oh, there's power in the name of our Jesus Christ, and he's told us to walk in victorious living. But he doesn't want you and I to create victory. Oh, if I can do this, then I can create victory. If I praise God a certain way, I'll get victory. If I pray a certain way, no, he has already crafted victory, and he wants us to stand firm, and he tells us through his word to stand firm on the word of God. You're not fighting for victory, but from victory. Amen. You grab a hold of that this evening. You are not fighting for victory, but from victory. You are not trying to achieve something, but something has already been achieved. So he said you are to stand firm. If it's already been done, it's already been accomplished, it's our job to stand on the word of God and make sure you have the right wardrobe on. He said, you got to have the belt of truth. You've got to have the breastplate of righteousness. You've got to have the shoes of the gospel. You've got to have the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. But when we read tonight at the end of verse 17, he gives you the last piece of armor. He says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the verb here means to take. It means to pick up as needed. How many of you know we need to pick this up? Well, I've got questions and I've got problems. Well, I've got the word of God that has every answer that we have need of. He said, pick up the sword of the Spirit. It is very important because it's the only offensive weapon in the arsenal. It's the only, when the enemy begins to back you up into a corner, when the enemy begins to fight you, you are to take up the word of God and begin to stand firm on his word. He has put a weapon in your hand. How many of you know what you do with a weapon? You use the weapon of God. He said you are to use this weapon. The soldier has two types of sword in the Roman army. And I want you guys to grab a hold of this tonight. The long sword that you fight at a distance with. The word here is not for the long sword, but the Greek word here is for dagger. And it's the 18-inch dagger is used for up-close fighting or your face fighting. The dagger was used when you had it in your hand to have combat and your enemy was right up close. And when the enemy was close, they would begin to use a dagger. The Greek word for sword here is the word dagger, and the dagger was a needle sharp. It was used for giving a death blow because the enemy is up in your business. And you've got to create a death blow. You've got to use the word of God. When the enemy begins to come in like a flood, you begin to use the word of God. It's going to be a death blow to the enemy. So if you're the man up tonight, you've got to take on the word of God. And when the enemy begins to crowd you, the enemy ever been in your grill? Has the enemy got in your family? Has the enemy got up in your face? And he says here in general, we know the enemy is always there. And they will get in your grill and it's your evil day. You begin to get under attack. What do you do when you're being attacked? The attack is causing difficulty and conflict and chaos. It's like someone getting in your face. And the dagger was that kind of battle. He says, I'm going to give you a sword for the up close in face battle. It says the sword of the Spirit. It's for you to attack. And the key here is the only tool he uses. It's the Spirit's offensive weapon. It's the tool he uses in the spiritual realm. For we are not fighting a battle of flesh and blood, but we are in a fight of spiritual warfare. And if you've got spiritual battles, you've got to fight a spiritual fight with spiritual weaponry. And he said, I've already given you a weapon. He said he wants you to address the invisible world. For what is in your face you think is visible, but it ain't your mama that's the problem or your daddy. It's not anything that you feel like is in you in the natural realm, but it is a spiritual realm. It is what the Spirit uses that is causing you trouble in your world. That comes from the invisible world you do not see. And if you don't believe it's coming from the invisible world, you will not use the sword. You think, guess what, that you can think it away, that you can sleep it away. You can do other things to get rid of it. But there's a problem. You can't do things in the natural to get rid of a spiritual problem. You're going to have some spiritual weaponry, and you will be like Moses and Peter, because when Moses tried to deliver Israel, he killed an Egyptian. And when Peter wanted to deliver Jesus, he cut off a servant's ear. But Jesus had to instruct both of them, I don't need all that. I don't need you to try to do this in the natural. I don't need human ideas. I don't need human perspective to fight a spiritual battle, because human perspective will never win a spiritual battle. And why so many of us are losing our battles is we are trying to do it in human form. And once you go there, that's not what the sword of the Spirit uses. He's not using the natural. He's wanting you to use the spiritual. And you're going to fail every time, and you're never going to man up like you need to, because when you use a man-made method for a spiritual cause, you have no support from God. But if you'll use a spiritual weapon, you'll have all the backing. You'll have Jesus on one side, God on the other, and the Holy Ghost on top of you. But here, the wrath of man doesn't accomplish the purposes of God. Y'all grab a hold of that one. Your wrath does not accomplish God. God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Well, if I could just do, they've done this to me, and I'm going to get back at them. I'm going to say these words against them. I have my own approach, but your method is not my method, said God. My ways are not your ways. And my heart's not like your heart. In the spiritual realm, the only tool God uses is this dagger. It is needle sharp. And it is because of how we begin to believe in the power of the dagger. We know we don't believe it because we don't use it. Amen. If you believed in it, you'd use it. Amen. Right? You got to believe in something in order to use it. Man, I've been taking weight off quite a bit. I went in May, I was 276. Today, I'm 229. And I got some friends that were, they weren't really trying to sell it to me. I was just interested in it. I was like, well, I'll give it 1 month. If it works, I'll keep it. If it don't, I'll trash it. But if it don't work, I can't believe in it. But I know something tonight that works, and it's the power of God. He said the sword of the Spirit is the Spirit of God will use in your conflict. It's the only weapon you have because it's all you need. It's the only weapon you have, but it's the only weapon you need. You don't need any other weapons. One is the sword. He says it is the Word of God. And the Spirit has a sword that He has given to us to use in our conflict. And three words for the Word of God, here's how it works. Logos, graphe, and rhema. And we're going to dive into every one of them tonight. Graphe means you've got the Word. It's called the Greek word. It's the writings. If I sit in it, if I begin to sit in on the podium as you begin to hold the Bible in your hand, you hold graphe, you hold 66 books, and the words that hold them up, they compose the canon of Scripture. And whether you have it on your shelf at home or your coffee table, your iPad, you handle the Word, what we call graphe. And you have the Word of God in written form. I mean, we know we have it in written form, and that's awesome. He says God gives a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, but the Greek word is not graphe. When He talks about the Spirit He uses, He is not talking about a Bible in your hand. Some people use the word as graphe. They use it like a rabbit's foot. Man, I have it here, and it's going to be my good luck charm, or it's going to be my four-leaf clover. People have crosses dangling from their rearview mirrors to stop an accident or something. They think that there's some magic in that. And they think as long as they have that on their body, on a chain, that everything's okay. And what some do is sanctify the car by putting graphe in it. They put it in their car for magic. At home, they put it in their living room to bring their home holiness. But don't get me wrong, it's the Bible. Tonight, it's the Word of God. But that's not what the Spirit is using. There is what we call the Logos of God, according to John chapter 1, verse 1. You see, Logos goes further than graphe. Graphe is all it is a book that is in written form. But Logos is the message of the book. That is the Bible when you read it, and when you read it, its message, it is Logos. And when you come to church and hear a sermon preached and what the Word says, you experience Logos. You begin to understand the written Word because now you get the message of the graphe. And you see, Logos is very powerful. But in the beginning was the Logos, and the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But the message is God's talking, is the graphe, is God talking about it in written form. But Logos is the message given from the written Word. And graphe is God's message written, whether to use it or not use it. Like in court when you put your hand on the Bible, that's graphe. But they are not interested in the message. They just want to know, they're interested in the book and not what's in the book. But put your hand on the graphe, and when you don't care about the Logos, they are not concerned about the message. All they're worried about, it's the written book. They are swearing on the written book of God. But Logos is the message given. We need a message to be given. If you understand a part of all of the book, you begin to graduate from graphe to Logos. This message is living. It's powerful. This is not the Word in verse 17. He doesn't say the sword of the Spirit is the graphe. He doesn't say it's the Logos of God, what we understand. He says the sword of the Spirit is the rhema of God. And the rhema means utterance. It means the word spoken or declared. It is a declaration of Logos that you got from graphe. So you've got the written Word of God. And you've got the message. You understand it. But there's got to come something from the graphe to the Logos. lost, you've got to be able to use that. It's not enough to have the written word. It's not enough to have the logos of God to understand it. All of a sudden, you can't be just hearers of the word. He said you are to be doers of the word. So logos is your message, but rhema is the utterance, the speech, the spokenness of the message. You could own a Bible factory and not have a sword. Because you can have all the written word that you want to have. But if you don't use what you have, then it does you no good. You can't make Bibles and not have a sword. You can do all these things and not have the sword. The sword of the Spirit used in rhema of God. The graphe, the book, gives you the logos, the message. But it is the rhema that plunges in and draws blood. We are here to draw the blood of the enemy. If you're walking around in defeat, it's probably because you're not using rhema. Because rhema is the spoken word of God. And I can speak unto the enemy when he begins to get close to me because I've got the rhema. Rhema is what the Spirit uses. And if you're in a spiritual battle, don't you need to use what the book tells you to use? Many of us are not seeing the power of the Spirit because we haven't graduated to the rhema. We know it is a written word. And we know the written word is the message of God. And we understand some of it. But he said, you've got to go from understanding to using it. You've got to go to understanding to apply it. We're either stuck at graphe because we brought our Bible to church, and some people never open it. The only offensive weapon you have, and you're not even opening it. How can you be an effective fighter if you won't open up what God has given you to fight the battle? And we think we're going to fight the battle some other way because we're either stuck at graphe. And some people, when they never open it, you feel holy because you walk with it. You're not holy just because you walk with it. You're holy because you live like it. Amen. And when people begin to carry it around thinking, look at me and look what I have. This is not the tool for the spiritual warfare. Most understand the logos, the message. And we want to understand the sermon or the truth. But you might be inspired by it or educated by it or oriented by it. But we understand something we didn't previously understand. And when it comes to spiritual battle and we get in spiritual warfare. And when the enemy is in your grill and you need more than graphe. You need more than a written word. You need more than just understanding the word. You need a rhema word by the power of God. You need a graphe word from the logos uttered to the spoken word declared. And what do you want rhema, the logos? Utter, declare, speak. Because the intrinsic built-in of logos that we find out and read in Scripture. And when you go to graphe to get the message, I don't get the message to say I enjoy church. I get the message from what I need, and it's rhema. For when I am being fought on Monday and the enemy is coming at me, I've got to be able to speak the word. It's been good to hear the word, but I've got to do something with it because it comes in the area of you've got to grow up a little bit and get more than the milk of the word. You've got to get the meat and begin to use it because it's a living message. It's not just informative. It's the Bible said it's alive tonight. It's a word that is active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is high energy behind it. It's a force field. The logos of God is living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. We understand that message. But he said the logos of God is sharper than blades on both sides. The logos of God, you read, you said through it was rhema. Yes, the sword of the Spirit is rhema. It's active. But when he is going to use it, but I'm telling you what he uses when he uses it. He uses it when it's rhema. Rhema means it is alive. Rhema means when it's logos, by the time it hits rhema, if you got logos and understand it, you have a sword with life in it. I need some life in it. He said it's the logos of God. It's alive and active. You see this thing right here? Amen. When I preached this at my church, I had not bought one yet. It's a bug zapper. Y'all see that? A nice little bug zapper. It's kind of like the rhema. It's active. But there's a button on here. If I never use the button, it's never going to kill a bug. Your word is active. But if you never use it, you're not ever going to win the battle. Oh, but the other night I got my Blackstone grill. Wait, man, I'm getting ready to cook me some food the other night. And I had about 15 sweat bees. I was like, give me that zapper. I could have stood out there and got stung with a zapper in hand and never used it. But you know what I did? Oh, you see that light? When I've got that light, don't touch it. Somebody in my church tried to be bad and touched it, and they got zapped. The other night I got out there, I was grilling with one hand and zapping in the other. Kaboom! You know what happens when you zap a bug with this? Electrocution. Man, it gets addictive. Hey, man. I was like, bring some more of those bees my way. Hey, man. I turned it back on. Boom. Zapped another one. Boom. Zapped another one. I think they were getting the message, because after I got about, Kevin, I got about three of those zapped. It looked like they cleared out of the way. Hey, man. And I finished my food. But if I never use it, I'm never going to be victorious. You can have this Bible. You can carry it every week. You can put one on your car. You can put one on your neck. But until you get a hold of the rhema of God. Because the enemy, when he comes in like a flood, he said, I'll raise a standard against him. Amen. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Amen. Devil, you come my way. You come toward my kids. I'm getting ready to activate my word. I'm going to walk through my house in the word. I'm going to activate it in the name of Jesus. When I get in my car, I'm going to activate it in the name of Jesus. Because we're not just dealing with the Logos of God or the Graphe of God. We've got to get into the Rhema. Because when we make the word of God active, and when that enemy comes in, guess what? He's going to come into a lion's den, because I'm getting ready to give him the word. And what does he say? He said, resist, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. It's time somebody begin to use the word of God. It's not enough to hear a cute word and go home feeling good. You got to begin to use the living word of the living God. It's a living message, not just information. The Bible tells us it's an alive word. It's an active word. It has energy behind it. And the Logos of God is living and acting and sharper than any sword that we can ever find. He says the Logos of God is sharper than the blades on the both sides that you begin to use. It's so sharp, it slices the invisible realm. There's an invisible realm around you. There's an invisible realm around your kids and your grandkids. But he said, why does your God want to use the message to divide your spirit and soul? Because your soul gets in the way of your spirit. Your soul is how you were raised. Your soul is your orientation. Your soul is your thoughts and your perspective. It keeps getting in God's way, though. Those things, your orientation and what you think is the way to get yourself out of it. Amen. It's not to cook yourself a bowl of chili and get some crackers. So God needs to begin to slice you out of the way so his spirit can break through. And we have intertwined our soul to God's spirit. And that's why we keep getting in God's way. We're trying to do things that were meant in the spiritual. We're trying to do in the natural, and we're going to fail every time. Every man, every woman under the sound of my voice, God wants the Logos to get in you so you'll get out of the way. You're understanding the message, but the only thing that this does is that the message of God, when it comes to you, so when you hear the message and it gets down on the inside of you, and when you thought it, what God says isn't the same, you just say, well, I'm going to get sliced and diced, because if I'm believing, you may have had a great grandma, you may have had a great mom and daddy, but if they're not backing it up through the word of God, the enemy will slice and dice you up. I often hear people say, you know what? Well, here's what I think. I need to know what God says. Amen. Your aunt may be great, but well, I don't think you should be doing that. I don't think you should be going to church like that. I don't think you should be getting involved. Well, God says, amen, enter into the house of the Lord. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. So when you hear the message and it gets down in your soul, and daddy taught you that disagrees with what God says, and it's down to you, it's down to God and daddy, you had it mixed up, and you had God's name up in your soul, and he's trying to tell you something different than what God has. God has nothing to do with how you were thinking and how you were functioning and how you were operating. And you got sliced and diced. You thought you were big and you had a lion tattooed on your arm and you thought that was going to get you through. But there's got to be a lion on the inside of you called Jesus. Amen. But he said it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing, penetrating down to the invisible level, the joints and marrow, and it's able to judge and discern the thoughts and the intent of the heart. And the problem with Logos, it not only attacks what you do, but it attacks what you think. Amen. You're not even saying it. You're even thinking it. He says it gets down to what you're thinking. It goes down deeper to the thoughts. It will go to the intent, not just what you were thinking, but what you're thinking about. It's penetrating. It tells us through the scripture. In verse 13, there is no creature hidden or found in his sight. I thought we were talking about Logos. I thought we were talking about the Logos is active. But where does the life come from? His sight, because God stands behind his word. And whatever his word says is because, and whatever God sees is because God is seeing it. But he said in verse 13, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In other words, you have been sliced open. And in the word of God, and it says here, the God and the golds of the Logos here, we find out in scripture in the word, is to expose. And if all you get, and when you begin to get, it's God's MRI machine or X-ray machine. And if all you get when you come to church is what you hear in an external ear, and all you did was open up Graphe and someone told you something, and when the truth hits you in the Logos, and the message is given, and Jesus has begun to call Logos in John chapter 1, because he was God's messenger. And he came to present God to us, and he was the deliverer of the message. He says a Logos will penetrate with power. When his message is given and you accept it, now you understand that. But then what happens? He said the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema of God. Now he brings in Rhema. We've got the message. We've got the understanding. Rhema is the word of God uttered. It's the word of God used. I've got to use the word. Graphe, the writings, Logos, the message, but Rhema is the use of the message. And if you don't ever use the message, you're going to get beat up. You're going to get left for dead. Because when you pull out a Rhema, you pull it out of the Spirit. And when it becomes the message, you deliver in short battle conflict. But when it's in your face, now you've been given something the Spirit uses. And if you get satisfied with Graphe, just having a Bible in your car or having a Bible on your bookshelf or it's getting real dusty on your coffee table, that isn't going to help you in the confrontational battle. And if you only have Logos coming to church, hearing a sermon every now and then, that's all you ever get, then you can't expect to live in victory. You can't expect to get through the battle tonight, because you've got to understand not only the message, but that message is alive. That message tonight is active, true, and it works in the spiritual realm. In an up-close battle, when hell begins to break loose, amen, everything's coming against you. And what the Spirit wants you to use now, not just understand, not just what you understand on a podcast you listen to, it has to be a sword you use. It's called the Rhema of God. Amen. Get your bug zapper. Amen. Because in the beginning, God said, let there be light. I said, God spoke. He spoke the Rhema of God. And he said, there was light. And the spoken word had the power in it to do what the spoken word declared. But you don't have enough faith to declare it. But if you have enough faith to declare it tonight, will not God bring it to pass? Because what he said would happen, it didn't happen till he spoke it. The light didn't come until he spoke the word. But when he spoke the word, you hear me tonight, amen, it happened. Just think, but he declared it, because when he declared it, let there be light, amen. Bam, a light began to appear, because there was power in the word. I said tonight, there's power in the word of God. Use your word, not only in the word being known. He used it what he knew. And the spoken word had power in it to produce. And what the spoken word called for, it was a dagger used. And it had to do with the Spirit. How do you know that? Because when God was ready to create the Spirit of God, the Bible said it was hovering over. It was ready to move. The Spirit was hovering in Genesis over. But when he began to speak it, it began to stand to attention. When he began to speak the word of God, he was ready to move when he heard the spoken word. He's looking over your life and you're in tragedy and turmoil and difficulty. But all of a sudden, when he begins to hear you speak, you had enough belief and faith. He was hitting his time when you talk. He said, I'm ready to act when you speak. And when you say something, I'm ready to do it. But I can't do it until you say something. Oh, you can hold it all day, amen. It's not doing anything, amen. But God said when you begin to hold it and you grab it and you begin to use it and you begin to hear that action, amen, that God is beginning to do in the middle of it, amen. He said you've got to use what you have. I can't do it until you say something. God said I can't do it until you say it. I can't do it until you believe it. I can't do it until you have faith enough, amen, to activate the word of God. You've got to go forward and believe it. And whatever you say, I'm going to do. Because when Adam and Eve in the garden, when they were there, what did the devil do? He messed with the word of God. He made them think the word was something that it was not. Hath God not said, let's talk about what he said. He knew if he could mess up the use of the word, he would mess up their power. If he can get you doubting the word of God and what you can do and what you can step into, he now could take control. But the devil loves hearing you say, I think. The devil loves hearing you say, my opinion is. He loves to hear you say, my daddy told me. He loves to hear you say, my mama said that it was like this. All my friends say, you know what? It's okay to do what you want to do and live however you want to live. He wants you to hear those words, but he loves that because he knows there is no power in what daddy says. There's no power in what mama and what your friends say. But he said, when you begin to speak the word of God tonight, there is power in the word of God. He said, there's no power. He said, the sword is dull on both sides. That's why, because you're not doing anything to him. He loves when you hear what Oprah has to say. Because Oprah, it doesn't matter what, it has no power. He knows there's no power in that. He knows the spirit is not in it. But when you go rhema, man, I'm getting ready to swat some devils, amen. When you take the Logos and use it, he is allergic to the word of God. Amen. It is his kryptonite. When you begin to step into the word of God and begin, even if you have to open up the word of God, amen, and you begin to read it, amen, you walk and pray. Amen. I'm going to read it. I'm going to pray it. Amen. Don't worry about that. Amen. This Bible's been used a lot. Amen. When I'm going to read it, amen, I'm going to declare it. Amen. Declare it in your home. Declare it in your vehicle. Declare when you're walking in Walmart, amen. I'm declaring the word of the living God. He said you're to declare the word of God. And he's called you to activate his spirit. He's called you to activate the power of God. Because everything that's been said does not matter until you get the rhema. And when you take the Logos and use it, he is allergic. Amen. We need to know that the devil is allergic to the power of the word. He's allergic to the power of the scripture. I often say, guess what? I don't know what side you're on, but I know I'm on the side of the Lord. And he said, don't use that. The enemy doesn't want you to use the word, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. The rhema of God is to be used and spoken. And he begins to say, when you take the Bible and get the message and use the message as uttered, the enemy in your face can't handle the word. I said he can't handle the word. Why do you think Jesus said it is written? Oh, he said it because he knows he can't handle the scripture. He cannot handle the power of the word of God. And God led Jesus in the wilderness to face Satan. And most would say, the devil is all on me. Anybody ever had the devil all on you? Suppose he is there to lead you. And his spirit led Jesus to the wilderness for the purpose to be tempted. Why would that happen? Oh, why would he have to go through it? Because you're supposed to be on the offense. Amen. We like this. We're backpedaling. Amen. We backpedaling against the enemy. He pops us one day and we back another way. But God said, when you're going to get sick of it, when you're going to get tired of the enemy pushing you around, pushing your family around, pushing your marriage around, when are you going to take the word of God and use the rhema and said, I've had enough? Anybody ever been in any fights? Amen. I tell my church, you know, I don't fight fair. Amen. We don't fight fair. We fight to win. Amen. When the enemy comes in, you're going to be fighting to win. You got to use the word of God. But God said you got to use the rhema. So I'm so confident in God and in the word of God that God leads you into Satan's territory. Oh, don't leave me there. Oh, I've been going through this and going through that. I don't want to be in Satan's territory. Oh, man, but when you got a weapon, amen, you come in my house, you better get ready for a fight, amen. I've got my kids and my wife. If the enemy's going to come in, guess what? You better get ready for what's to come. We are not just going to let him take over. Some has let the enemy take over your home, take over your life, take over your family. But in verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, Jesus is hungry. And the devil meets us at the point of our problem. Jesus is struggling. And the worst thing he could have done was offer him some Texas Roadhouse rolls. Amen. He came to offer him some bread. But two times he said, it is written. It is written. He didn't have no meeting. He didn't have to say, well, you know what? No, well, if I give you this part, devil, if I give you a little part of my family, will you leave me alone? Or Jesus didn't come to him and say, well, if you take this part of my house, then I'll be okay. Or if you take this part of my life, I won't get too excited at church. I won't pray too much about the things that I'm going through. I won't worship like I need to. If you'll just give, you're going to just give up room, give up room, give up room. Just leave me alone. But no, you got a sword. It's to be used. It's not to backpedal. It's not to say, you know what, we'll meet in the middle. There's no meeting in the middle with God. There's only one way that's right, and that's the ways of God. And Jesus is hungry, and he gives him some bread. But the Bible calls Jesus the living word. If Jesus needed the word, if Jesus needed to use rhema, what do we think that we can live without rhema and use it? It's not enough to have the written. It's not enough to understand the written. But Jesus said, you have to do what I did. You have to use the living word of God. And if the living word needed to be used and the written word to deal with the enemy, if Jesus had to use it, why don't we think that we can get by without using the word of God? But if he's coming at you and he's trying to tempt you and he's trying to do everything he can to destroy you, well, get tired of it and begin to use the living word of God. How much you and I who have written no word. Last time I checked, there's no words in here. Pastor Frank has written no words in this book. There's nobody in this place that's written any words in the written word. And if we have the written word to deal with the enemy, and he's told us we've got to use the rhema, we've got to activate the bug snatcher, amen. We've got to begin to use it in the name of the Lord. And if he had to use it, are we better than the Lord Jesus? But Jesus will not go down without a fight. Amen. He's going to say, I know the rhema word. And he said, I'm going to use the rhema word. And I'm going to come against the enemy with what? Guess what? The enemy has come in on me, but I don't have to take it. I don't have to take all his junk. Amen. I can get up in the name of Jesus. And I can begin to fight in the name of the Lord. And I can believe his word and say, I know your word is true. There's not a word in here that's a lie. From the front to the back, it's true. Anything in between, he's Alpha, amen. I mean, you know, he's Omega, he's beginning and the end. And he's created you and me. If I get a new heart, he can do it because he made it. Amen. If I'm having trouble in my body, I believe I serve a God that can heal it. Because he said in my word, he said when I went to the cross, he said it is finished. And he said what was finished, I already paid for victory. I already paid for your healing. I've already paid for all that. But if you'll get enough faith tonight to say I'm going to use the written word of God. I may have been going through it. Last week may have not been the greatest. But I'm coming out in the name of Jesus. I'm going to use my word. I'm going to begin to preach it. I'm going to begin to teach it. How many of you know you can preach? Everybody in here can preach. All it is telling the good news. Amen. Oh, we got some good news tonight. I may have been down, I may have been out, but I'm not staying down. I'm not staying out. It reminds me of a story. I believe I read it. It was about Don Shula. And he said these very words. He said, I went to go see this big high star recruit. And he said, I was watching on the field. I was looking to see what he could do. And he said, all of a sudden, this one team had thrown a screen pass. He said, I really wasn't looking for this dude, but this guy got blocked, got put on his back. He said the ball had already went up the field. You know, he could have just laid there. He said, this young man got up. This guy's like 15, 20 yards ahead of him. It's my kind of football player. Amen. He went after him. About 25, 30 yards down the field, he grabbed that man, pulled him down, and threw him down. And Don Shula said, I don't know who that man is, but I'll need him on my team. Amen. Because when you get knocked down, you don't stay down. You got to get back up in the name of the Lord. Men in this house, you can't stay down. The enemy's going to try to make you stay down and say, give up and quit and throw in the towel. But God said, no, no, you don't have to, because you've got the Rhema word of God. You can get up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I came, amen. It may be a fight, but I'm ready for the battle. And I'm getting ready to win, because guess what? You cannot lose with the stuff I use, amen. How many of you know with the power of God, you're going to win with what you got, amen. And if I got Jesus and God and the Holy Ghost and the word of God, I can carry it tonight and believe it and teach it and reach it. Everybody stand tonight, amen. Man, we've got this bug catcher tonight. Amen. My wife said, don't you attack nobody. Amen. I've got the word. What are you doing with it? Oh, but if I could just get in a good service, man, then I would get what I need. You can get what you need. But it ain't enough to get it for one day. I mean, you know, Monday's coming. Man, when Monday comes, I got to be able to take the word. And I'm getting ready to you, because I know the enemy's coming. But when you come, amen, tell them I'll get back to them, amen. Tell them they can follow on live stream. Get a word, amen. But when the enemy comes into my car tomorrow, you're going to get some. You're going to get some. You're going to get something you ain't ready for, amen. Because the last week the enemy came at you, you laid down like a dead fish. You said, oh, yeah, devil, you're right, amen, I am defeated. I can't make it. My marriage is going down. My family's going down. Things are so bad. I might as well just throw my hands up and quit. And if some of you would be honest in this house, he's done got some of you contemplating suicide and say, if I could just end it, everything would get better. Oh, no, but a preacher came by to tell you, you don't have to quit. You don't have to give up. You don't have to throw in the towel. Because when he slides in your job tomorrow, guess what? Bring him the Rhema word. Guess what? You say, well, I can't even, maybe I don't remember the word. Well, you know what? You can go tonight in your house, get you a pen and get you a note card or a piece of paper and write your word down. Amen. Write the word, and I'm going to take it in. I'll put it in my pocket. I'll put it on my car, and when you come in the next time, guess what? I'm going to start using the Rhema word. And when I begin to activate that word, because today I'm sure you've already heard the word. You got a part of Graphe, and some of you got a part of Logos. But somebody's got to stand up here tonight and declare the word of the Lord, that I'm not giving in, I'm not throwing in the towel, and we're going forward in the name of our God. Amen. How many of you know God's in this house? God's in this house. Amen. My faith without works is nothing. But man, when I activate my faith in the name of the Lord, how many of you know God's able to move? God's a miracle worker. Wasn't too long before we got to Shelbyville. I remember, I can't even remember, Brother Charles, but somebody came up with COVID or somebody in their family was in bad shape. I said, God can take care of it. Amen. They said, we're getting ready to put them on a ventilator. We don't know when they're getting out. Man, we lay hands and believe by God. On Monday, they said they're eating. Amen. On Tuesday, they're getting up. Amen. And then I got a call on my phone on Wednesday. They said, like, Pastor, we're already at home. So we went from a ventilator. Amen. They was already eating fried chicken. Amen. They were already eating a hamburger and french fries. Amen. Because our God is a healer. Our God is a worker. I had a guy come up today and say, Pastor, I used to be an alcoholic. 4 years ago, I was delivered. I haven't had another drink. How do you know that God's not only a healer, a savior, but he's a deliverer tonight? And no matter what's going on, bring it to God tonight in this house. If you have a need in here tonight, I want you to lift your hand to God. Say, Pastor, there's something I need God to move in. Oh, man, we're going to use this spoken word tonight. Amen. I'm coming tonight. I'm believing God to do it. Man, I feel faith in this place arise. Amen. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you drive tonight. God said, I'm here for you. Amen. My love is here in this house tonight. I want you to come down in this place. Amen. I want you to stand right here in front of me. If your hand's up, I want you to come. I want you to come in the name of Jesus. Oh, I don't want to just hear it, God. I want to use it. Amen. By his strength, amen. As we gather around here in this altar tonight, I was thinking, you know what? It's better. I'd rather be involved than just sitting and looking. You know what I mean? You ever got in the class and, you know, they've been teaching you and you're getting sleepy and tired and bored? I just like to be used. Brother Lyons, I thought that as a kid in the church. I just want to be used. Man, one day I picked up a tambourine. And, man, I felt like I was a part of something. Since I was 10 years old, I'd bring that tambourine, Brother Lyons, right on the front row. They'd let me play it. I probably wasn't the greatest, but they let me do it anyhow. But I felt like I was a part of something. And I got involved in it. Amen. And my interest grew. You know what? God hasn't called us to the sideline. Or God hasn't called us to just be spectators. God has called us to do what God has called us in our life. And we are able. Everyone in this altar is able to use the Rhema word of God. God's getting ready to do it tonight. Amen. Y'all come and play tonight. As you're playing and singing, we're going to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray in this house. God, we